We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from Las Vegas, sports talk, hot takes, and all of the bangers, Lindsey Brown and Adrian Hernandez, the Playmakers.
Just currently making awkward one-way eye contact with Brendan Shanahan, who I have shared my fruit snacks with at the NHL All-Star Game. But, you know, I'm seeing hockey coverage on ESPN right now, and I'm still kind of taken aback how easy it is to find that product now. Like, the days of trying to find the Versus Network are over, people.
Oh, God, the Versus
the
Network.
The Versus Network. I know there's way more stuff to talk about. And, of course, we're talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to lead it in with some nice movie, some video, just to articulate how much it means to us and everything to the hockey culture. You know where they start that video? In War Road, Minnesota, people. This is where it starts. This is where the game began.
Listen, the Timberwolves ain't going to give you these moments, so go off with this. Go off with this.
Oh, we're walking to the pond that we can never truly escape. No wonder how many Vikings fans were down here. They just filmed this, you know, 3 days ago, and so the snow's still there. Sucks.
No, it really is.
It seriously
really
is. Why do you think I'm down here? I was like, I'm not wiping down my car anymore. Hell to the no. I want to look at mountains and, you know, play tennis in January like a cool person. Off-season things, Adrian. This is the mode that we're in.
You know, the one thing, though, that I'm so thankful for is, obviously, you're from Minnesota, and for you and your sports teams, generally, at least with the Vikings, they like to tease you and then break your heart. And then
once
for
every
my
10
Browns
years,
and such,
we're legitimate. It's just, it's amazing. And
yeah,
your
well,
team
at least,
is different.
And then it's different because our Super Bowl is the draft that just happened.
Right.
And then pretty much other than LeBron, like, we don't have much success in terms of sports, which is going to help our Golden Knights faithful, because we're going to walk you through, like, this is how it usually goes, folks. This 5 year straight playoff runs and Stanley Cup finals expectations, it hurts right now.
It's time to be a casual fan again,
hurts.
People. It's time to be able to buy in and then get the hell out of there the minute something goes wrong, right? Like, there's something to being able to ditch whatever group that you're in.
Yeah, so pick your one team. Pick your one team for a run.
Yes.
Hope they make the most out of it, and then off we go.
Oh my God, these people are tailgating before the Canes game. Please make me a pulled pork sandwich. I would die for it at this point. Ooh. But I was really depressed because on Friday, the Wolves and the Grizzlies were playing. It was neck and neck the whole way, and then all of a sudden, like, the last 5 minutes happened, and then we're eliminated, and apparently everybody got exposed, and they're going to look in the offseason and figure out how to do things, and how quickly everything has moved on. I forget, like, when you get eliminated, when you do make the playoffs and you think, like, oh, it's over. Well, at least we get a few days to, like, ride the fumes and everybody will be on board. Nope, they move on to the next round and they've already, like, it's like you're gone, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, Memphis was upset. They're like, we have to play Sunday afternoon? We just played this hellacious six-game series. Can we get a break, please?
Yeah, and the Warriors took some notes on the series that was played between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves, because Draymond Green took the page straight out of Pat Bev's book, was ejected after getting in the face of who? Who was he in the face of? Elizabeth?
He punched. He slapped Brandon Clark.
I didn't hear that.
He started up top.
Jeez,
he slapped and punched Brandon Clark, and then as his hand was going down to the chest area, he just pulls his jersey down and throws him to the floor. And I don't understand. I don't, like, ESPN, is there nothing to talk about? Why are we doing these segments and these discussions and these 50 different replays? You can't hit someone in the head.
That's true.
And you can't pull someone's jersey down. And, hello, Draymond Draymond, you're kind of used to getting ejected in the playoffs. You build
a
reputation.
Well, he used it as a tactic, clearly. It was a full-blown tactic because it worked. And
yeah, it
truthfully,
did.
it not only worked on Memphis in terms of, like, you get in their face, you get them frazzled, but then it's almost like a re-buy-in for all the Warriors and all the feeling themselves they're doing right now of reasserting dominance into an already prolific champion core. Like, it's not just pushing your opposition down, it's pumping your own self up.
But the core is elevated, and coming up here shortly, I'm about to give your boy Andrew Wiggins some props.
The spirit of Wiggins knows no bounds. Oh, the influence. You can't
the
argue
happiness
it.
In your voice.
I
Let's
love
go.
It.
So,
I love
first and
influence.
Foremost, Jordan Poole is ready for these moments. The first two shots were kind of shaky, but he settled in. He's not afraid of the moment. This man somehow has leaped into another stratosphere this past month, especially with Steph Curry not
Why
being
would
out.
Too, if all these guys are holding down the trampoline below me, I'll jump off a building too. They're going to hold me up.
It must be nice. So 31 points off the bench, 9 assists. He went 12 for 20. And the greatest weakness, if there is one, throughout this Warriors run or dynasty that you want to call it, is the fact that when Curry goes to the bench, that second unit usually isn't as strong. Last night, when Curry went to the bench, the second unit for the Warriors gave him a 5-point lead. They added on to the lead that they had. Curry's never had that before, and the most important part and the most impressive part to me in game one with the Warriors, is that despite losing Draymond Green, the Warriors got 16 offensive rebounds. They actually out-rebounded the Grizzlies 51-47, and this is a series more than likely Steven Adams will play more. He was kind of absolute after the Timberwolves series after game one when they realized he can't be on the court with everybody.
Yep.
And Andrew Wiggins right now for the Warriors, he tied with Otto Porter with most rebounds on the team in game one.
Stop
and
it.
In total,
he's out there doing the grimy work to get done.
Yes, he's playing the power forward. He's playing the four. He has 41 total rebounds in six games.
He's not just,
That's 11
just taking
more.
Pull-up jumpers from 20 feet out and clanking it off the rim? What?
No, he's behaving himself. And 11 more rebounds than anyone else on the Warriors. And it's going to be huge because even when whether Draymond's in the rotation or not, with the rise of Jordan Poole, the Warriors are obviously going smaller. So they are going to need Wiggins, who's going to be undersized, helping on the glass, and he is absolutely killing it.
People forget that he was a number one overall pick. Like, he has so much scarf on him, or scruff, I don't even know what the word is, from his Wolves days. And people forget that he is a very, very good basketball player. I just
yeah,
to say that.
Yeah, and the one thing that was interesting to me with the Grizzlies is they, for Ja and this learning experience, as they make this deep playoff run, the Timberwolves' philosophy is we're going to blitz them from every angle.
Yeah.
The Warriors were like, no, we're not going to blitz them. We're going to make sure every lane is clogged. And they forced and they went underneath switches on pick and rolls and gave him space. They sagged off of him, which in response, Ja Morant, had 11 threes, which is one off his season high. Luckily, he did make 4 of those threes in game one, which was more in total that he had against Minnesota. But the Warriors were sound in committing to that strategy. And Ja's Ja. He still found his way to get into the lane.
Yeah.
But just those different split-second decisions.
You got to make him beat you with plan C or plan D. You got to put them in a position where they're forced to take shots or take situations and do what not what they want, but what's given to them. And then if they're able to succeed in that manner, kudos to them. If you can go bar down short side from 2 feet away, good for you. You deserve to score.
And yeah, and Ja did. He had a great game. He had 34 points,
right,
but he also shot 14 for 31. And if I'm the Warriors,
brutal,
you're going to take that because you want that to you want him
to take those shots and to have that.
Yeah,
and
you want him
exactly
to be a volume shooter.
Yep.
And he's going to have to make these different decisions. For the Grizzlies, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bain, they shot poorly. They only combined for 6 field goals in total. As a matter of fact, at the end of the game, Desmond Bain wasn't on the court. On the flip side, though, Jaren Jackson didn't foul out super early. He actually had 33 points, 10 rebounds. He went 6 for 9 from 3.
Nice.
He was huge, but it has to be demoralizing not only losing at home, but to lose while Draymond for at least half of the game was not in there.
I know,
that is
not
a good sign.
He left the fire on the court, and that's why he went after it. Like, that's why
you know, he did his
what?
Oh, no, I'm sorry to cut you off. No, you know he did this podcast after the game, like an hour after the game?
He doesn't give an F, dude. He doesn't care. He'll call out the refs from there, and so he doesn't get fined. It's unbelievable, but that's Draymond Green, and then that's why he's a singular talent and a singular personality, and that's why they're paying him to be on the desk at TNT while actively still playing, because that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is how much hype there has been on the Celtics, and then they lose, and everybody's just like, don't even look at it. Nothing happened.
Yeah, this was their second loss by more than 10 points since the beginning of the year in January.
It was not just the loss. It was a smackdown.
Yeah, it was 101-89, so much so that Brad Stevens, halfway through the fourth quarter, they caught it on ESPN like live. It wasn't even a replay.
That's not a good look.
Because they were talking about Brad Stevens. He walked out of the suite while they were talking about him.
Not a good look, Brad.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to point out. Leave Brad alone. No, it's okay. I don't care about Brad, to be honest. When it comes to this series, one thing I want to specifically talk about is last week when the Nets got eliminated and everyone was piling it on Kevin Durant, rightfully so for some people, and for others they were defending him and saying, hey, he is the best player in the world. And for some reason, a player that wasn't getting mentioned and hasn't this year is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I went to go check, and in the series with Brooklyn and Boston, Kevin Durant shot 36% the entire series. Yesterday, Giannis went 9-for-25, which is 36%. And when you look at the series and
that's
you look at this
number,
game that
though,
Giannis
it's lucky.
Had, yeah, it's lucky, and just the difference of how you can still be effective in not having a great shooting game, because he only had 24 points. He had a triple-double, first off, and I'm saying only. He had 24 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists, but the way he's able to impact the game, go inside the post, and yes, it's not necessarily flashy, and it's not Kevin Durant just pulling up for three, but I was kind of like, this is the difference, where they both shoot 36%, but the impact that they had on their offenses and on their teams is astronomically completely different. Giannis, despite that poor shooting game, accounted for 55 of Milwaukee's points. Off of the passes that Giannis had, 12 the team went 12 for 18 off of his passes.
So what do you do, drive the basket, bat or ram them to hell? And
yep.
Then and, kick or out the even, ball and then they sink it? Boom.
Yeah, and even when he was double-teamed, even when he was triple-teamed, he was able to find the person that was open. As a matter of fact, out of those 18 passes, 14 of those led to uncontested shots. That is amazing. And this is, of course, doing it without Chris Middleton, doing it with Drew Holiday, who had a great game, but at the beginning, he was in foul trouble, so he wasn't there. Giannis still finished the game plus 23 after going 9-for-25. And for Boston, I will give them credit, and I will say, yo, obviously, this is a completely different situation where Brooklyn didn't even know how to spell defense.
Where was Jason Tatum? Where was he at? What was his stat line?
He had a decent game, but even as great as he guarded KD, and this clip went viral, when Giannis posted him up, Jason Tatum literally tripped over himself. He wasn't fouled. He didn't get pushed by Giannis.
It's a complete
it was just
mismatch,
the strength.
No matter how confident just, he's playing, he's not going to be able to like back him down. You know.
Yeah, and it's a different type of game, and it's a different way that Milwaukee's going to attack you. Matter of fact,
and Jason
Boston
runs
shot,
on that too. If you notice, he runs really hot when he's feeling himself. Like it's just that's where he gets to his upper echelon tier.
And that's the next step of that tier of finding a way like Giannis is doing now, where you're not necessarily having the greatest shooting night, but the impact that you can have.
Right.
And Boston,
you break
they
the
shot
doors.
30. Yeah, Boston shot 33% overall in this game. That is the lowest field goal percentage that they've had, especially from the paint, in 25 years. With Brook Lopez and Giannis guarding any of the players putting up shots against them, they were 3-for-20. And even Drew Holiday, anytime someone pulled up a shot against him one-on-one, Drew Holiday held them for 4-for-13. So this is not only going to be a different type of defensive philosophy, or actually just a defensive philosophy, which Brooklyn didn't have, it's a different type of physicality.
Well,
and it's a different type of just Brook Lopez and Giannis. Like, these are big dudes.
And Marcus Smart might be out for a game, too. And if that's the case, guys, ooh, I don't know about those Celtics. Because I love me some Marcus Smart. I think he's just the bee's knees. I really do. And I think that this team plays with a completely different personality if he's not on that squad. Just like how I was kind of getting into with Jason Tatum. If he's not able to feel himself, you're not going to be able to expect an upper echelon tier type of game, even on the defensive side of the floor, because you're just not getting the same positive reinforcement that allows you to play that free. right? I'm not going to question anything I'm doing because I know that my instincts are correct right now.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't want to say that this is a sweep and Milwaukee's going to destroy them.
No!
But it's very No. I'm saying that I'm not going to say that. I don't want to overblow.
I can't believe anybody
the,
would
the
say
game
that.
One. But I will say if you're Boston, and one of the things, and I know you're on the Marcus Smart train, one of the interesting things that I was like, how does this guy end up winning Defensive Player of the Year?
Oh,
not only because I think that Jason Tatum could be a better defender than him, but when you look at the stats throughout the year, the defensive rating for Boston with Marcus Smart on the court and off the court are exactly the same. So that may be helpful. I just think the strategy and kind of the mentality. Look, for all intents and purposes, no disrespect, it was kind of a cakewalk against Brooklyn where they knew it. Like, just there's something on the court where you know, these guys, number one, aren't as tough as me, but they're not in it like us. They're not ready for what we're about to do, and they can kind of dictate things where Milwaukee, despite Chris Middleton being injured, they're going to try, and they're going to get down and dirty, and that's where they thrive, and that's where they play too. So this matchup is going to go – this is going to be a great series. I don't expect Boston to get slapped in the mouth repeatedly over the course of the series.
I'll tell you what, if Brad Stevens walks out halfway through the fourth quarter of these games, this team is going to turn around real quick, because that's just something bare minimum that you can totally control and completely unnecessary. But who knows? Maybe he was just going pee. Like, that's the other thing. How dare he leave us? He's abandoned us. Left
Wait,
us
they
defend
got suites?
For ourselves. Yeah, you're like.
They got bathrooms in the suites, though, like, don't they?
What if he was 2 seconds away from pooping his pants? Like, what if it was one of those situations? Ooh. You know. Oh, you know, God. That sitch. You're like, I'll say anything just to keep moving on with my journey.
Yeah, and it was just perfect timing by ESPN, because literally it was live, Lindsay. And I know, I see here on the playbook, you brought up what the Heat. The Sixers need to do to keep the Heat, like, from not finding their best game.
Yeah, because they're not going to be able to overwhelm them, so you got to make sure that they put enough clankers off the iron to not feel themselves and find their best stuff.
I've got three notes on this for the Sixers. This is what you need to do.
Okay.
First note, Sixers start praying. Number two, Sixers continue to pray. Number three, hope James Harden wakes up and thinks it's 2019. I have the Heat winning this series
not
in five games.
Not the 0-27 game, though. Not that particular version.
Yeah.
Not that one. Maybe like game four in Minneapolis. That
regular
James
season
Harden.
2019.
Like 50 points in the third quarter type of James Harden. That's what I want.
Yeah. For the Sixers, though, I guess Kyle Lowry is going to miss tonight's game. Jimmy Butler will play. And look, I think it was kind of over, underappreciated how much the Heat defense had Trae Young in a body bag, where in a game where Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry weren't playing, and you have dudes on the Heat's roster like Max Strus, like Gabe Vincent, like Deadman, like all these dudes who you think are like they play on the Sacramento Kings. Like, these are not top-tier players, but the culture and the buy-in of everyone on that team to defensively swarm Trae Young, who, by the way, the Hawks had the number one offense, the half-court offense in the league last season, and Trae Young was one of the top scorers in the league, to stop him and in comparison have James Harden, who has been god-awful for the Sixers since he got there, and not have Joel. It is going to be ugly. And I will say, at the draft, someone had a Fear the Beard with the old school Sixers logo jersey. I was like, that's cute, but Heat in four.
Did you tweet about it or did you say something to him?
No, I just looked at him and said, you poor guy, you wasted $20 on this. But hey, you got to root for your squad despite it, right?
Oh, that $20 is worse spent than your $40 for the plastic football that your son thought was a rubber duck. I mean, come on. Come on. It's unbelievable.
It was 30. It's like, 30 yeah, bucks. 30
still,
bucks.
Still, massively overplayed and overpaid, to be completely honest. But I'm watching the same thing kind of play out in the opening moments of this Boston-Carolina NHL playoff game. Boston has been all over the Hurricanes, forechecking them, punch them in the mouth, so much so that they're so nervous about breaking the puck down off the boards on the ice that they sailed one over the glass. And now the Bruins are on the power play. We got more hockey stuff, thankfully not related to the Boston Bruins because I've already talked about them enough today. I hate them. So let's move on to the Western Conference and the two matchups that we have tonight. The Minnesota Wild against the Blues and the Oilers and the Kings. Previews of both of those on the other side of the break. Love them for the bet.
Lindsey Brown and Adrian Hernandez, the Playmakers. exclusively on 1140 The Bet.
So deep in the prep that I don't even know that the segment is starting. I've already seen Antti Raanta, the netminder for the Carolina Hurricanes, on his ass twice, and we're not even 10 minutes through the first period. That is the last
we're getting physical.
No, as a goalie, you never want to be on your butt. If you're on your butt, something has gone terribly awry. But you know what? He hasn't played in a while. There hasn't been a whole lot of like cohesion with the Carolina Hurricanes, even though they've managed to give up the least amount of goals this season. But it is all Boston Bruins to start off this first game of the NHL playoffs. Earlier in the program, we discussed the Eastern Conference Finals, or not the finals yet, I should say the finalists. And now we're going to go more on the Western Conference side, the later games for our slate tonight. We got the Minnesota Wild hosting the St. Louis Blues, and then the Edmonton Oilers with the Los Angeles Kings. Very, very exciting stuff. Which one would you like to hear about first, hockey expert, sir?
Well, listen, first off, I love that I can tell in your voice, like, I knew something last segment was going on.
What do you mean?
And I was like, the hockey? No, because the hockey has started.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that you're laser focused.
Oh, my God.
I was like, Lindsay's over here locked in.
100%.
And number two, real quick, I do want to know, because, you know, in basketball, we were just talking about this Grizzlies and Warriors matchup and how physical it was.
Yeah.
So in hockey in the playoffs, like, is it the same type of deal where, for the most part, the refs are kind of letting it fly, per se?
Yeah, there's definitely some swallowing of the whistles. I mean, it's always really a tough compromise because there's a lot of extra stuff that goes on in hockey that is away from the whistle, or like after you move the puck, like you could easily just chop somebody's hands and like break their finger, like just, and you're not even like in the play. And so
Jesus. You're
very much like at the mercy of the gamesmanship of your opponents. And let's just say people aren't here to make friends. And so it's some people are a little bit dirtier than others. And certainly there's a different way of life and existing in the playoffs. And not all teams can like have figured this out quite yet. Like, I don't really expect a lot of physicality out of the Edmonton Oilers, because the Edmonton Oilers, Adrian, are built to score goals. I mean, two of their guys, that's literally all that they do. Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, that is all that they do. We know how prolific they can be, but we also know that when the playoffs roll around, that this team doesn't know how to play. But they kind of have finally drawn a perfect opponent to get over that hump in the Los Angeles Kings. And this is no offense to the Kings, because I'm a huge fan of that organization. I picked them to be in the playoffs months ago, and I expect grand things in their future. But when you have the amount of injuries, and specifically to the defensive core, and again, even more specifically to Drew Doughty, who was trying his best to make a comeback to be available for the playoffs for this team with a wrist or a hand injury, he will not be a part of that. And so the Kings' defense, how will they hold up? How will they manage an Edmonton team that is so rush heavy, that is so offensively overwhelming through the neutral zone? Can they keep up with scoring? Can they stay committed to the defensive way that is necessary? I mean, the Kings have played that way over the last couple of years, because when you're bad, how do you stay in games? Well, we clog up the middle and we hope to block stuff down. And what they went out and did in order to help bolster their ability to get those pucks out and not get caught so often in their zone is signing Philip Deneau. Centerman has been unbelievable, has paid off in the exact way that they had hoped in terms of unleashing Anze Kopitar from his laundry list of responsibilities. He's a Selke Trophy finalist almost every year. And so the center depth will help with that defensive kind of lack, but only in the slot area. And so the Kings can't get trapped and tired out. They need to get pucks out quickly. And they're a very opportunistic offense in LA as well. They have some capabilities to put pucks in the net on the rush and in transition. I look at Alex Iafallo to do that. But a lot of this talent is young, and a lot of this talent hasn't been there before. Kings goaltending has been very hit and miss this season, but how many more chances will Jonathan Quick have a shot to relive his 2012 Conn Smythe glory days? Not very many, and this is the last go-around for Dustin Brown, their former captain. And so I think that'll help at least get a little bit more pep in the step to help keep up with the Edmonton Oilers. But man, if they start getting goals in early, it's going to be a messy, messy time. But at the same time, Edmonton goalkeeping, not exactly the most Fort Knoxian of areas. I would expect Mikko Koskinen to make a start. I'm not sure if it's going to be him or Mike Smith, but I know that Koskinen, you shoot low on this guy. This guy has pinball flipper goalie pads. He has super limited hip mobility, so he retreats very quickly back into his crease so he doesn't have to shift his hips from side to side. So if you shoot about a foot off the ground as he's regressing, as he's in movement, he will have a tough time stopping a beach ball, let alone a puck. He's a guy that literally moves around his body rather than making his body move around his game, if that kind of makes sense. He also has a goalie tick where he claps his hands on every mark, so you can kind of leverage that missed time, or at least you always know that that's on his to-do list before he can get ready for a save. And so
that's
if I know that,
right,
oh yeah, him and Alexander Georgiev are best friends in that camp. And so I would definitely be targeting a lot of weird shots from odd angles or just in mistimed places. You're just looking to catch people in between their breaths. But that's pretty much all I have for my vision of this Oilers and Kings game. I mean, I got notes on both of these guys. Go ahead.
I do have a couple questions trying to gauge both of these teams and kind of in my head put the tiers together. And I'll go back to The Athletic and their anonymous general manager poll survey that they did to kind of put 1 through 16 where these teams are in tiers. And that final tier, the lowest tier, was tier 5. The only team in that tier were the LA Kings.
No respect!
And I will say one of the quotes is from one of the GMs is, all credit to them, even though being in the spot that they are, us even talking about them makes them dangerous. This team had zero playoff expectations.
Yep.
They have nothing to lose, and they can catch people
off
guard.
And you know what happened in 2012, Adrian? You remember. You remember it like it was yesterday. They went on a run as an 8th seed. They go up to Vancouver. They sweep the Vancouver Canucks, who were coming off of a President's Trophy and a Stanley Cup loss in their own building. And they ran the table all the way to the Stanley Cup final. That's what that Jonathan Quick, Conn Smythe seed. They were the 8th seed. I remember being in college and reading about how many pucks Jonathan Quick was swallowing up during the regular season. Like, unheard of amount of goaltending, and how this is a dangerous
Daryl
team.
Sutter,
if they're
gets
able,
them ready.
100%, 100% he did. And he took those talents right up to the North Beach of Calgary too, but we're not even talking about them today because they don't play until tomorrow. But that's in this team's DNA. Jonathan Quick is still on this team. Dustin Brown is still on this team. Anze Kopitar is still on this team. All of those guys were on that cup, both of those cup winning rosters. And so they can show you the way. And so if they get a couple of good goals early, like I said, if you just keep Edmonton from finding their best game, anything can truly happen if you're willing to block shots off of whatever body part that you can put in front of it. Speaking of block, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
I'm just sick of this matchup.
One more question.
Go ahead.
Just the last question on Edmonton. So in this survey, Toronto was behind Edmonton slightly, ever so slightly, by the slimmest of margins.
Yeah, they both suck until proven otherwise in playoffs because they always lose in the first round. That's nothing new. That's hockey. Everybody knows this. Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues. This is the best matchup of the first round. This is the true feast de resistance. In Minnesota tonight, St. Louis, probably the hottest team in the NHL in the past 2 months. The only probably a little bit better than Minnesota because they've been scoring goals unlike they've ever seen. They set so many franchise records this year on an individual and a team level. And, oh, yeah, they went out and traded for Marc-Andre Fleury. But he's not even the goalie that's playing the best right now. That's Cam Talbot for the Minnesota Wild. Ever since they traded for Marc-Andre Fleury, the dude's been lights out. Like, this is the definition of a good problem to have. And so we don't know who's going to be starting between the nets tonight against St. Louis, but we know that Ville Husso will be for the St. Louis Blues, not Jordan Binnington, who has been very inconsistent this season, whose confidence has waned and was looking pretty good down the stretch here. But clearly, Husso has made a good enough impression to get his first ever playoff start. You know what number he wears, Adrian?
I think it's 35.
You're correct. God, you're an expert. And it's a lot different of a team that plays in front of Ville Husso versus Jordan Binnington. Like, Jordan Binnington is a galvanizing goaltender. I mean, he's a guy that swings sticks at opposing players when he's being escorted off the ice. Like, Husso is a lot more contained, a lot more reserved, and just kind of focused on getting the the pucks blocked down. And sometimes that's what a team needs. They don't need to be they don't need a fire lit under their ass. Sometimes they got to put the ass on the fire to make sure that we have coals for tomorrow. And the St. Louis Blues, like I said, have been scoring a ton of goals as of late. They make a lot of heads-up plays in the neutral zone, and that's really where I think this matchup is going to boil down to. Who can make the most heads-up plays in the low neutral zone, a.k.a. on your breakout, to spring a superstar on an offensive slope? That's what the Minnesota Wild do. They have Kaprizov. They have Fiala. We learned that the Marcus Foligno injury that looked literally like his leg was taken off the other night, I guess the dude's fine. Same with Jared Spurgeon, because this is just hockey, and this is Minnesota hockey, and this is a team that we've never really seen before in terms of expectations. Minnesota can score in bunches. Is never out of a contest. They have so many comeback victories this year. It's not even funny. So you need to keep an eye out for that. And for really how this team manages the physicality of this matchup and of the playoffs. Because last year, maybe it was just because it was the first time that Kaprizov got into the playoffs, first time that like Fiala really got a true taste of an actual playoff series, because when they went to the bubble, they had one of those shortened series and then lost to Vancouver. But the Golden Knights were able to neutralize them. They were able to get them off their game where they're just kind of skating around and being more of a passenger in the car rather than a driver. You cannot let Kevin Fiala get juice. You cannot let Kirill Kaprizov get juice. And you cannot let the Joel Eriksson X of the world also clean up when you have shut down their top superstars, because this is a Minnesota team that is so, so deep. And so are the St. Louis Blues. Like, they got talent stacked up and down. But if we got to talk about the matchup, who I feel better about, it's definitely Minnesota, because I think they have a better defensive core. They produce more. They make those heads up plays. And I just think they realize that the urgency is now. Like, that's a weird thing to say, because everybody knows, like, oh, it's your last few weeks with this particular team. You can never take any chances for granted. But that's exactly what the St. Louis Blues did in the bubble. Like, they literally didn't give a crap. They had won the cup, like, months prior, and then they just showed up. Versus Minnesota, who's, like, 2 seconds away from salary cap hell next season. So this is about as good as this team's going to get. So we better make sure we throw everything in the kitchen sink. And so I think this series goes the distance. I think it goes 7 games, and I think it's going to leave a lot of bruises.
This is the Grizzlies T-Wolves matchup for the NHL in terms of this is going to be entertainment,
yep,
entertaining, and these dudes are going to go after each other.
100%. There's so much pride on the line, and as I was kind of talking about yesterday, there's a lot of shared history between the St. Louis Blues and Minnesota Wild. Both of these teams, like 3-4 years ago, you would think in 3-4 years from now, they'll probably be in the basement, because these guys can't even manage themselves out of anything. But you make a couple of changes, and then you pick the right people to put in the room, a.k.a. Craig Berube behind the bench for the St. Louis Blues, and then Bill Guerin for the GM for the Minnesota Wild. And not only is it a new day in the fan base, it's a completely new era with a lot of good things on the horizon. And so there's a lot at stake for both of these teams in this. And so with that, I think you get the best hockey out of it.
And with the Wild, obviously, at the trade deadline in the front office, willingly saying, hey, we are going all in. Does the fact that the Blues have had a decisive edge in the season series matter at all? Because this is a completely different mentality and roster.
I mean, new season in the postseason, but I mean, I know that the Minnesota Wild were really embarrassed by their performance during the Winter Classic, and they got smoked by the Blues. And the Blues had their number all season. But I don't really take that much of what has been this season into what the new season is. It's just you got to show up with what you got, and you got to outwork your opposition and be willing to just make one more play. And so yet best out of 7 for each one of these games here. It's still 0-0 Boston, Carolina, just over 6 minutes left to go in the first period. Boston still with a pretty big shot disparity, 14-5, but at least I'm seeing some puck possession from the Carolina Hurricanes. They're very used to playing that way. And if you're not finding your best game, well, you're not going to find a whole lot of W's in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Different type of mix here for this trail. Let's move on to the rest of our program. The last few minutes into what we missed this weekend. The weekend wrap, according to Adrian. On the other side of the break, 1140, the bet.
Swing into the jungle for some tremendous sports opinion. The Jim Rome Show, mornings at 9, only on 1140 The Vet. And now, sports with a Z. Lindsey Brown and Adrian Hernandez, the Playmakers, exclusively on 1140 The Vet.
Stanley Cup playoffs are underway and the Met Gala is happening. Coincidence, I think not. You know what the Met Gala is, Adrian?
No, I know. I feel bad. I should have texted you. Like, we could have did outfits even though we're not together in studio. Although I am holding my hand to the wall nearest to you.
Hold on. I'm going to do the same. One sec. It's just like the thing on the Apple Watch, right? Where we both touch the screen at the same time.
I am.
Like, oh my God, you're giving me attention.
Lindsay, I am going to Disney for Star Wars, so it's like I'm using the Force for us to connect.
Question.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a question that's at the forefront of everybody's minds here.
Let me hear it.
What are you going to bring me back?
What do you want? I want to bring you back a turkey leg,
like,
but that won't
whenever
be
Whenever my mom went on business trips, I always had to have something back because I'm like, well, if work is going to take mom, I need to get something back from work to make this a fair exchange. And so naturally, I asked for a lava lamp because that was the only thing that can be found in like the city of Portland. I don't know why that's
the most awkward thing to put in the suitcase.
100%. I don't even know if she bought it out there, if she bought it when she got home, but either way I had it when she got home. So either way, thanks for that dream coming true, Mama B. But I'm gonna have to think about this because I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff that I don't even know exists that I want there. And so I'd rather you like take some pictures and then I say, I want it. And then we'll go.
No, it's
just make
literally,
your entire trip with your child about me. That would be ideal.
Lindsay, I'm not even kidding. Like, I follow this woman who's like a Disney influencer. Her Instagram's like Disney Hungry. Wait a minute. Why am I giving out her Instagram? Follow me on Instagram at Heavyweight Radio. Anyway, every day she posts like Disney stuff. And I guess today in the Disney shop, they added like a Mickey Mouse shaped full body size cookie jar. I'm like, why do these things exist?
Because they want to get featured in, like, the Kardashians or something. And be like, that's the only place that would, like, legitimately exist. Like, if there's anything, like, related to Mulan, I want it. Like, that's my person.
There are some, like, that and what's the movie with Goofy and his son? Oh,
Goofy,
my God.
Extremely
why am I
Goofy
forgetting
movie,
it?
The Leaning Tower of Jesus.
So... So
come
they
on,
do
man.
Have some of those little items. So
sure.
I'm gonna get you something. I promise. Now it's gonna be a little something because obviously we're at the NFL draft and those footballs are kind of expensive, Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit left out, so I would just like to be included. We have a wrap up to close up our show. You're usually the one that leads us. Where would you like to take us to water, my friend?
100%. Let's go to the LPGA Tour, okay? Because sports were happening outside of the draft, okay? And this lady, her name is Lydia Coy, and I hope I'm pronouncing her last name. Now, she played in this tournament. She posted a 1-under-70 to finish in a tie for third place. And afterwards, Golf Channel reporter Jerry Foltz asked the 17-time LPGA Tour winner, and about the use of her trainer, because I guess the trainer was like giving her a massage and just, you know,
lucky,
checking up on her because obviously something was going on with her. So he wanted to know what happened and curious if this was like a long-term issue.
Sure.
And at that point, Lydia responded with a impressively earnest answer. She said, I hope not. It's just that time of the month. I know the ladies watching are probably like.
Yes, bitch.
She was
like.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I got you. See
we
what happens
here for
is.
Honesty. She was on her period, gentlemen. For all of you that are wondering what that means, we do talk about
ew.
Those. I know, they're so gross.
Ew.
But actually, they're totally natural. And they just, believe it or not, they're happening across the world as we speak. You just don't even know it because we don't talk about it. But we got
it. It's like an elimination. It's an elimination chamber women have to go through every month.
She had third place while on the rag. Impressive. Fun fact that nobody
cares about. Yeah, so. So when that is, she said, so when that happens, my back gets really tight and I'm all twisted. It's not the first time that Chris has seen me twisted, but it felt a lot better after he came.
God.
So, yeah, there you go. The dude was speechless. He simply said, no follow-up question.
Oh, 100%.
He just said,
he had no idea. He's like, ask that guy to say vagina, like the next word out of his mouth. He won't even be able to know or he won't even tell you what letter it starts with. That's how taken back
like,
he was.
He said, thanks. Back to you guys.
Did you know that they did some study to measure, like, the amount of pain that people go through? And apparently that a period cramp is the equivalent of a heart attack. And a bunch of guys are shook. And everybody's, and all I thought was just like, oh, I guess, like, the heart attacks probably don't hurt that bad then.
Wow.
I know they manifest very differently in women, and a lot of the signs that we look out for are just strictly for male bodies. Shockingly, the medical system focuses on the men. I know, very much breaking news, people, but look those up for yourself. But let me just tell you, we deal with a lot, so shut your mouth.
They don't have, I don't believe they have one to kind of replicate for men, but I do know for birth, they do have a machine that not only leading up to the birth that men can put on to kind of simulate as close as they possibly
can.
And then when the birth happens... Well, I've seen some of the videos.
How can you recreate ripping the very fiber of your being open for someone else? Like, how do you recreate that in a sumo suit? I'm sorry. I just don't think that that particular VR experience is going to be able to be created.
Let's move on from period talk.
Why?
To another man that's caused pain for a lot of football teams and their fans, Tom Brady. He is a part of a team, the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers. What's his name? He must not be named.
We'll see. Sometimes we say it. Sometimes you say Tom. Listen, Voldemort for the Buccaneers, all right?
The only Tom I recognize is from MySpace, okay?
Top eights forever. So they drafted a new teammate that's joining him. His name's Logan Hall. And apparently, Mr. Voldemort has been playing in the league since 4/16/2000. Logan was born on 4/22/2000, meaning that this man has been in the league for longer than this guy's been alive.
Think he needs another hobby?
I think so. I really wish I had the crickets button because of us being.
Good for you, Tom. You're old as hell. I'm like, it's so fascinating how like age for men is just like it's something to be proud of, and then for women it's such the direct opposite. Like, look how much older I am with everyone. Like, it's just so dumb. I don't care about him.
On Bumble though, this 47-year-old.
He's taking shirtless selfies like on set right now. I literally do not care about him. Act your age, Tom.
Yeah, and let's move on to baseball. All right, let's do this real quick.
Finally.
Because over the weekend, the Colorado Rockies were in Philadelphia for a four-game series. And the Rockies' physical performance coach, his name's Mike Jasperson, has set a record.
Jasper had a kid? I didn't even know that was possible in the ghost world.
He ate 24 cheesecakes over the course of the entire series.
Directly
which was
to
four
the
days.
Factory? My God!
He broke a record for Philly. The Philadelphia Phillies staff gave him an award and congratulated him. Yes, and let's move on to your Minnesota Twins. We're staying in baseball before we get out of here. So Kenta Maeda?
Maeda.
He's a baseball player, right? He is rehabbing right now in Fort Myers, and he actually drove up to St. Petersburg in Tampa to watch his Twins teammates from the dugout yesterday versus the Rays. The Twins ended up losing, ending their 7-game win streak. And because of that, the game afterwards, instead of going to the game, he just left a note in the bench that said, "I'm sorry for snapping the winning streak. I will not be in the dugout today. I love you guys."
Oh, my God. Baseball is so superstitious.
That was wholesome.
It was.
I enjoyed it.
It was, indeed.
And before we got time? We got so much
time. Oh, we got so much
time.
Let's go back to period talk. Let's do it.
No. We got to go back to the draft real quick.
Oh, God. Why?
Because I don't know if you saw this. It went viral. One of my favorite things from the weekend was the Ryan Fitzpatrick fan club meetup at the draft. Did you see this video?
Yeah, a bunch of dudes walking around in matching jerseys that aren't matching. Genius.
Rams, Cardinals, Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Commanders, Bucks, Texans, Bengals, Titans. 10 homies coming together to spend over $1,000 in jerseys for the one and only Ryan Fitzmagic. I thought it was very wholesome as well. A lot of wholesome stuff
on this weekend.
I don't know.
I feel like it's promoting promiscuity, don't you? You get to be old and you get to be able to be with everyone. It's kind of BS. I'm just saying.
Dude just needs to shave
his face, bare minimum. What have you done for me lately? Go take the Wonderlic again, Ryan. Show me what your new score is. Bring your kid up and do math problems again. Let's do it.
I really wanted to end the show. Right, that was very aggressive.
Well, you keep bringing it back to the sports. I'm like, can we move on? But no.
Oh, no. I got you. Because I really wanted to end the show with the speech from your Vikings dude, the final three minutes of the show. But we won't do that.
Damn
we don't have enough
okay.
time. But we do have enough time to talk about Serena Williams' tweet. Once again, shout out to my lady. Serena Williams tweeted this out, and this is what I want you to think about, everybody, as you go home here on your Monday. Serena tweets out, "When you're a mom, I'm convinced you got to learn how to poop faster, or else your name is being yelled at over and over again. 30 seconds or less is your poop time."
Ooh.
Thoughts?
That's pushing it. That's truly pushing it. What's your average time?
I spend about 10 minutes.
Yeah, you got, it's a whole process. I don't understand that.
It's a whole process. I'm a bigger dude. But it's an oasis too, like away from my kid.
But that's the thing. That's you have been given the blessing of an oasis. Mothers do not get that. That's the exact illustration because they're not. What you doing? What you doing? I'm not a mom, but I've nannied before. And I know what's up. I know what's going on, at least to an extent. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for joining us and for being yourselves. Be well to each other, but mostly to yourselves. Use your blinkers because people are dying out there. And otherwise, enjoy the abyss that is your life. We'll be back in 22 hours for more distractions from that very exact concept. All right, bye.
Lindsay, do me a favor. Turn on your mic and talk real quick. Keep talking. Okay, cool. So awesome. So tomorrow we can either talk on Slack, I'll have it open, or we can talk like this during break and we won't be on air.
Okay.
It's lit. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.